Well, good morning. Welcome to Harbor of Hope. I'm so glad that you're able to be with us this morning. My name is Kelly Tibbetts. I'm the director of Kids Harbor. It's just an honor to be able to share this message with you today. If you've been with us this summer, you know we're in the middle of a series called God Breathed. And what we had done is ask you, our community, to share with us scripture that is very meaningful to you that you wanted us to take a moment and share a message with. And so that's where today's scripture comes from. Someone in our community asked us to share from the book of James chapter 1. So as we look at James 1 today, I just want you to know, I love the book of James. I don't know how many of you have read the book of James. I love the book of James. The words in it are so true, and yet at the same time, they're so very hard. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what it is that James is telling us to do. In the book of James, we're reminded that God created us to live fully and love deeply and give freely. And as I read this small book, I see God calling me and calling all of us to become loving followers of Jesus. So if you've been at Harbor this summer, this verse is familiar to you. It says that the scriptures that we read are inspired. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So literally, the scriptures that we read are breathed by God. So if you have a Bible, we will be in James chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible, at the back of our worship area, our Bibles, we would love for you to take one home as a gift to you from us. So the book of James is found in the New Testament. And if you've read the book before, you know it's only 5 chapters. I'm giving you an encouragement for the fall. Take home a Bible, read the book of James, 5 very quick chapters that are easy to read, very hard to do without the power of God in us. And so in order to preach a series here, you may not know this, but the staff at Harbor, we get together and we plan out a series. And I find it almost ironic that the scripture I'll be teaching on today comes from the book of James and says to speak slowly. Because all of you who are here today, I have a few friends who have known me for a while, and you know how very fast I can speak if I want to. And so that is how I'm naturally wired, is to speak very quickly. So it's almost funny that I'm the one sharing today that scripture says to speak slowly. But I don't think that's really what it means. It's not how fast the tone of my voice is. It's what Jed said last week, that God, in fact, uses broken vessels, jars of clay. And that's what I'm standing here today as, just thankful for the anointing that God has given me to share a verse that says we are called to speak slowly, to listen quickly, and then become people who are slow to become angry. So James 1, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. When I was growing up, I would say the one thing people said to me the most was, "What did you say?" I got very used to hearing it. And in fact, last week when I told one of my friends I was preaching on this, she said, "That's so funny. I don't know how many times I've been teaching Sunday school for you, and you'll whirl in, give me a bunch of instructions, and whirl back out, and I'll look at the person I'm teaching with and say, what did she say?" So speaking slowly does not come naturally to me. This is not a gift that God has given me. But today, I think what James is really trying to say is that it's not how very slow or fast my words come out. What matters is that when we talk and when we listen to one another, it matters. It matters if we are kind and loving. And dealing with our feelings matters. It's not okay to be someone who either stuffs anger or explodes in anger. And this is something that God has poured into my heart all summer. When I have free time, something I like to do is listen to podcasts. If you didn't know this, Harbor has podcasts of all the sermons available for you. So I love to re-listen to Harbor podcasts. But in addition to that, there's a pastor out of Georgia named Andy Stanley. And I don't know if you're familiar with him or perhaps his dad, Dr. Charles Stanley. And so I love Andy Stanley because I feel he's someone who communicates well. And the way he speaks, it just stays with me. So this summer, he did a series called Christian. And the premise of it is that in the God-breathed, inspired Bible, the word Christian is not defined. It wasn't what the followers of Christ called each other, and it's not what Jesus called his followers. He didn't call them Christians. He called them disciples. And the word disciple is actually clearly defined. In the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, it says this, "By this, Everyone will know you as my disciples if you love one another. Jesus said the people around us, we will know that we are followers of Christ by the way that we love. And love is not just about saying words, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul explains what love looks like. It's patient. It's kind. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't keep records of wrong. It rejoices with truth. Kindness, gentleness, patience, these are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And love is a verb. And it has been said, as I prepared for this message, multiple different places I've seen this saying, that listening well and loving are so closely connected, it's hard to tell them apart. So I want to say that again. How we listen is a reflection of how we love. And so as I look with you today at James chapter 1, I want us to know that we are called to be people who speak slowly and listen quickly. So as we begin today, I want to start with, well, who is this James of the book of James? In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, the brothers of Jesus are listed. And James is one of Jesus's brothers. Now, if you were to look at James, the letter of James that became the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1, he doesn't brag on this. You know, many of us would. James was, in fact, at the time of writing the letter, a leader of the church in Jerusalem. Jesus had gone back to heaven, sent the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter had become a leader. Persecution came to the church. James is a leader in the church of Jerusalem. But when he writes this letter, we don't see him saying, I'm James, brother of Jesus, leader of the church in Jerusalem. Instead, in James chapter 1, verse 1, we see James referring to himself as a servant. And I think that is a call that God has for all of us today to understand that when Jesus came and led the disciples, he showed us how to lead others through servant leadership. So here we have James, a servant leader, writing a letter to the people that he is caring for in Jerusalem. And they are going through an incredibly difficult time. And he's writing this letter to inspire them, but also to remind them why they are called on earth to be the hands and feet, to be a living example of Jesus. And so James 1:1 reminds us to what? Consider it joy when you experience trials of any kind, because the testing of our faith produces perseverance. I've been a mom for almost 20 years and a teacher for over 25, and I'm fascinated by studies that talk about children. It's just something that I find really interesting. And one thing that I've seen in the studies these last 20 years, and it's something I struggled with as a mom myself, is we're creating a culture where children are coddled to the point that they no longer learn to try and try and fail and try and get up. That's called perseverance, isn't it? It's grittiness. And a key to emotional health as an adult is having that gift of perseverance, of grittiness. So when we see trials coming into our lives, we need to look at the book of James and see that God says, count it joy. It's going to produce in you something that would not have been produced without this trial. So James continues to tell us what it looks like to be a loving community, to be known as disciples of Christ by how we love. And how does that look? Well, it looks like people who speak slowly and listen carefully. So I want all of you right now to take one moment, and I want you to think of a person in your life who is a really good listener, someone who looks at you while you speak. They probably don't interrupt very much, use few words. They're just good at listening. See, that's what Scripture is calling us to be people who speak carefully and understand that our words, they matter. See, there's a silly saying out there that says, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt us. That is not true. Some of you are sitting here today, and a teacher said something to you when you were a child, and it wasn't true, and you still believe it to this day. Others of you were walking through the hall of junior high, and someone said a word that hurt your soul, and it's still down in there. And so that's why we're called today to be people who speak slowly, to be filled with grace and with truth. A couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to go to the Global Leadership Summit simulcast, and I watched it out in Manchester, but it comes from a church in Chicago called Willow Creek, and the pastor there is named Bill Hybels, and he puts a lot of time and attention once a year to helping leaders from around the world become better leaders. And what I love is he's a very authentic leader, tells the truth on himself. And so this year, he shared about blind spots. And just like in a car when you're driving, you might have a blind spot that you can't see. You might be sitting here right now thinking, I speak slowly and I listen quickly. I'm all set. And he thought that as a leader until he started to ask the people around him. And so my encouragement for some of you today is to have the confidence to pray, Lord, give me the strength to ask the people that I live with and work with and know, am I slow to speak? Am I a good listener? Something that God has been working on in my life for literally decades. I became aware of my problem with listening way back in college with a class I took. And even though I know that someone who listens well is able to reach the heart of people they care about, it's still an area I need to grow in, and I'm still growing in. I noticed as I was preparing the message, one of the things that's preventing me right now from being a good listener is the technology that's available to us. I have a desire to go downstairs and just check my email very quickly, see if there's anything I need to do, and then I get caught up into one thing and another on the internet. Or I'll be sitting there talking to my girls, and I'll just check my phone really fast, make sure there's nothing important, and what happens? I get drawn into it. And as a young mom, I thought I was excellent at something called multitasking. I thought the three of them speaking to me at once while I was cooking and cleaning meant I was really amazing. But the truth was, I wasn't ever really hearing them. Some of you have had that happen. You've been trying to do three things at once. Turns out you're not hearing anybody. So earlier, I asked you, was there a person in your life that's a good listener? A person who looks you in the eye while you're speaking? Who hears what you say? That's what I'm praying today for God to shape in me. Scripture tells us that God has called us to be disciples, to be people who love well. So maybe this is the piece you'll take today. You'll go home with a prayer, Christ, show me where it is that I need your help. You will have the confidence to ask people around you if this is something that you need to do. Do you listen quickly? Will people say you're present? Do you listen and respond and pray as people share their heart? Now, the final verse, part of the verse that I wanted to share with you from James chapter 1, is that in addition to being people who speak slowly and listen carefully, we're called to get angry slowly, right? It says, be slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Some of you are sitting here today and you are surprised that scripture does not say, do not be angry. It's just the assumption that good people don't get angry. In her book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, a book that's really impacted my life, Jerry Scazzaro says that anger is often a secondary emotion. It's existing, but it's hiding the emotion underneath, sadness, hurt, fear. So when we're angry, a good thing to do is to ask a question, why? Why am I feeling this anger right now? And you know, Jed has preached on this in the past. He has told us that God is not against righteous anger. If today God is stirring in you an anger at something that breaks his heart, that he wants you to be his hands and feet, that is not the anger I'm preaching against. My oldest daughter has this passion, this anger that comes out that people around the world, that children and women are being trafficked, and it breaks her soul. She's like, Mom, I'm going to change this. That's an anger that comes from God. That is not what I'm speaking against today. I'm talking today about the kind of anger that does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So as you're sitting here today, I ask you to ask yourself a question. How quickly do you become angry? What makes you angry? See, there's two sides of this anger issue. Some of us are incredible stuffers, right? We keep it down so low, we don't acknowledge it, we don't think it's an acceptable feeling, and then it becomes too much, and we spew. I'm not even kidding. My mom's here. This is not in my notes, but I need to just tell you this is me. Some of you don't believe it, but my mom will tell you that when I got the news my brother wasn't coming to my wedding, I literally took a door off the hinges. She's in the back. You can ask her. I had an issue with anger. It's not 100% gone, but it was there. So I was someone who stuffed. Good people didn't feel anger. But some of us, the instant we feel it, we let everyone around us know about it. And both those things do not create the righteousness in us that God has desired. So I want to talk a few minutes about anger. And as I started to prepare, I realized we could do a whole sermon series on anger. After my first message, when I went out, the connections that I made with people made me realize this is something many of us struggle with. But today, I just want to talk about two things. One is expectations that lead to anger. And the other is because I'm in this stage of life, I want to be an encouragement to others. A place in homes where there's often anger is as children leave the adorable stage of childhood and enter into the stage of teenager. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and share some of the insight God has given me. And as I'm talking about this, I want us to remember the truth of the gospel. And that is, it is Christ in us that changes us. Do not leave today and in your own strength decide you're going to do any of these things. The good news, the gospel is that in our weakness, Christ is strong. And Christ's power is made perfect in our weakness. The first step today is just acknowledging that we are people in need of a Savior. And the good news is Christ is that Savior. We don't need to be our own Savior. So as we talk about expectations, just a few words I want to say. If perhaps you grew up, as I did, without a perfect home, where expectations were not clearly spoken. One thing that causes many of us to become angry is when we have unconscious expectations. Things that make us angry, we don't even know why it makes us angry. This is something we can bring to the foot of the cross. Why? Why does this make me become angry? But other things are not unconscious. They're just unrealistic. If you take a hungry, tired child to the grocery store and expect them to behave, that is unrealistic. You know, if your spouse has a very long commute and comes home and you expect them to be game on, ready to take over, that's an unrealistic expectation. And anger will result from that. We also need to have agreed upon, spoken expectations. I don't know if any of you grew up like I did, and for some reason I thought, if you really love me, you will know what I'm thinking before I even say it. That is not healthy at all. Expectations need to be spoken and agreed upon. That is one way to help create situations that are healthy. And if anger is an issue in your life, whether you're a stuffer or you're an exploder, my question to you is, have you asked God to help you this day? I have to tell you, when I was a mom with three little children, I literally had to roll out of my bed onto my knees to ask God for the strength for the day, just to get through that day. Multiple times a day, we're going to need to ask Christ for the strength. Have you asked him for your help, or are you trying to get through this on your own? Don't do that. Ask Jesus to be the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. The other encouragement I have for you is in a few weeks, we're going to have Group Link. And I encourage you to come and sign up and find a group where you can be your authentic self, where people can pray for you, where you can discuss the scripture we preach from each week here so that God can make it a part of who you are, so you can become slow to anger. So my question to you today is your home a place where it is known that people here are slow to anger? And then a few moments ago, I shared with you that anger was a part of when I was younger, but I am thankful. There are small steps I've been taking towards Christ these years. And what changed me was not me trying harder. What changed me was understanding the gospel that God completely loved me. There's nothing more I could do to make him love me more, and my sins did not cause him to love me less. When I began to recognize that, my identity changed. And my identity became, I am the love child of the Most High God. That is my prayer for all of us, that we would be a church that is known for being people who love well because we know how very loved we are. In a few months, we're going to sing a song where you'll have the ability to sing with confidence. I am loved by you. That's who I am, God. And when I rest in that, my identity cannot be changed by what people say or what people do. And at the same time, the people around me are not responsible for my identity. See, I think if God hadn't brought me on the path, I would have had three broken children right now trying to live up to unrealistic expectations. But their identity, my desire for their identity is that they would know they are loved children of God. But my identity does not rest on who they are. My identity is simply, I'm the love child of Christ. And I don't know if as followers of Christ, we've taken seriously some of the scriptures that speak to parents and children. Ephesians 6, for me, has been a very big turning point in my life. And if you don't have young children right now, don't think this part doesn't have to do with you. If your parents are still alive, then you are the child who needs to honor your parents. And what does that look like? You know, most of my life, it's hard preaching when your mom's in the room. You have to be honest. So most of my life, I would say I was kind of snarky and sarcastic. My mom can affirm to that. And God started to speak to me and say, you know what? What does honoring look like? If you want your children to honor you, and you're not seeing that, make sure that when you're looking up, you're seeing yourself act the way Christ has called us to do. Honor looks different to each person. If you have younger children, I encourage you now to share with them, while they still really think you're great, what it is that you think is honoring. If you don't like people rolling their eyes at you, tell them while they're younger. Don't wait till they're 18 and are being disrespectful. If you don't like a certain disrespectful tone, communicate it. The problem in our society right now is that everywhere you look, parents are idiots. On television, in the movies, they're just all dumb. The kids are smarter, parents are silly, and it's a hard thing you're going to be culturally fighting against, but recognize that, and you have the right to say, this is what I feel is honoring. God has called you to this. I want you to be honoring to me. And in truth, you need to be humble enough to realize there are things they are going to be smarter and better at than you are. Don't compete with them. In Kids Harbor, my toddler room is for children 3 and under. Do you know that most of them can use an iPhone and an iPad before they can barely talk? In fact, Jed Mullinex, our senior pastor, is moving on. One of his daughter Lydia's first words was Patty. It means iPad. This is how different technology is in our world. They're going to know more. My children know more about technology than I do. They know more about lots of things. Don't compete with that. So what does it look like to be honored? Make sure that you are presenting this before the cross. Have those conversations that you need to have. But then, if you are a parent here today, I don't know how often you've really looked at this verse from Ephesians chapter 6, because the end of it matters. It says, parents, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. This is still that same discipleship that Christ has called us to. It is raising up disciples. Have you ever thought of that before? Don't exasperate your children. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you were a parent, do you ever exasperate your children? Do you push them to a place where they feel unable to do what it is you've asked them to do? See, our goal as parents is to help our children become who Christ created them to be. Probably not going to look a whole bunch like us. We want them to look like Christ. So when children are moldable, that's when we are supposed to be pouring into them. That's why I love the verse from Deuteronomy I had the chance to share before. But honestly, as a parent of teens, I need to tell you parents who are getting there, when they are moldable is often when you're tired. When they are in their bed at night, they might want to speak, and you're sleepy. Ask God for strength and do the hard work that's needed to disciple your children to become the followers of Christ they were created to be, and see if some of these issues of anger in your home begin to go away as two followers of Christ learn to be in relationship with each other. So when it comes to anger, some few parts I want to leave with you is, first, learn to feel your feelings. If anger is a secondary emotion, figure out what the real feeling is. If this is your first time here, you might not understand why I keep referring to Jed. Jed was our senior pastor for 10 years at Harbor Hope, and he just received a call to move to a new church. And some of you are sitting here today feeling like you can see how I feel. There's sadness around it. And you know how I'm going to feel on the 12th when he comes to preach for the last time? I'm going to be sad. I'm going to cry because he's worth every single tear. He and his family have been exceptional people to know. Don't stuff your feelings. Feel them. That's one way to keep anger from taking over. The next part is to own our feelings. When I met my husband, one of the most important things he taught me is nobody can make you feel anything. I used to do that to him. You make me feel? No, nobody can make us feel anything. Own your feelings. If you're feeling angry, ponder why. But your anger is not making you act, right? We are in control of our own bodies. Learn to own our feelings. It could just be that you're tired and hungry. You need a rest. It could be there's sadness you need to work through with a trusted friend. And then finally, I'm encouraging you today to take a next step. to pray and ask God, why are these feelings here? Ask for God's help if you've never done so before. Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help me to do what it is you're calling me to do, to love, to forgive. And then finally, talk to someone you trust. Confess our sins to one another. There's no reason to keep it hidden. As you leave today, I want you to find out how it is that you feel loved. Because only loved people can love others. John 3:16 reminds us of this, doesn't it? That God loved us so much, he gave his only son, that anyone who believes won't perish, they'll have eternal life. But in John 3:17, it continues, he did not come to condemn the world. He came to save us. Recognize today, you are loved already. When I went to the Global Leadership Summit, in addition to telling on himself in the blind spot, Bill Hybels told us about a spiritual discipline, a practice that he's put into place to help him grow and be the man of God he is, who's leading this church and this incredible leadership summit. And what he does is something that I've never thought of as a spiritual discipline. It's something that's in my life. And what he does is when God puts in his life a song and his soul connects to it, he feels like music was created so that our souls could connect to heaven. When God has put in your life a song that has spoken to your soul, play it over and over and over again until you believe it. So while we're at the Leadership Summit, he's explaining this spiritual practice. And the summit was less than 2 weeks from when I had heard that Jed was moving. And the Sunday after I heard that Jed was moving, Allie Moran, one of our worship leaders here, had a little worship event at her home, and it was so beautiful. And she sang this song called Good, Good Father, and I'd never heard it before. But as she sang it, my fear and some of my sadness and some of my pain over Jed leaving began to go away because I knew Jed's not in charge of our church. God's in charge of our church, and he's a good, good father. He's going to take care of us. So then I go to the Leadership Summit, and Bill Hybel starts explaining this practice of repeating a song over and over again. And he said, there's a song this summer that I've been playing that has ministered to my soul, and most of you now have figured out it's the song Good, Good Father that I'd only heard a week before, and I felt like God was speaking to me. So there I am at another person's church, surrounded by people I don't know very well, and I am crying. You know the ugly cry where I'm just letting it go, because God had showed me how very much he loved me. You know, we're going to have an opportunity in a few moments to worship with that same song that I heard. And I pray that as you sing it, the words will be true for you. He's a good, good father. And you are loved by him. That's who you are, loved. So if you find yourself today someone who's constantly responding in anger, it's time to look in your heart and bring the anger that you have to the foot of the cross and ask God today, where is this anger coming from? And if it's righteous anger because what is breaking your heart is breaking the heart of God, and you've become someone who is longing for God's justice to be with the poor and the marginalized, and he's calling you to be his hands and his feet, I pray that today will be confirmation of that for you. But if your anger is actually a secondary emotion, and it's covering up sadness and fear, rejection, you're sitting here today feeling like you have been left out. Or maybe today you're sitting here and you are in pain, or you're tired, or you're hungry. There are real physical needs that need to be met. I'm asking you to have the courage to take the next step and deal with the issue that's underneath your anger. And finally, what I've learned these last 15 years is that without rest, there's no way to delight. If you are angry, you might be going 24/7 with no break. And in the scriptures, we are commanded. The Sabbath is a gift, but it's a command. You need to rest, delight in God. Find what brings you joy and make sure that you are being filled so you can go and be who it is that Christ has called you to be. So today, sit here confident, knowing that you are forgiven, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when you leave, you might not remember any words that I've spoken, and that's okay, but I hope you remember this, that God is a good, good father, and you are loved by him. So as we finish today, I want you to remember that you have been called to be a disciple, someone who loves well through the power of Christ. He has told us clearly that we are called to love one another, that we have a mandate to speak slowly, to listen quickly, and to be people who are not defensive and angry. We're called to listen to one another because all of us were created in the image of God. It doesn't matter if someone has brought something to the table. Their value as a person, the reason they are there in front of you, the reason they are worth listening to is they are created in the image of God. So rather than being known as people who are for or against things, my prayer is that Harbor will be known as a place of disciples, of people who love well, who speak slowly and listen quickly, and who realize that anger is not okay. It's not okay to stuff it. It is not okay to just spew it on whoever. We will acknowledge your anger. We'll feel our real feelings. And we remember that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that when we love, we're patient and we're kind, we're gentle and have self-control. And this is not possible unless the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us and the fruit of the Spirit is coming out and creating us to be these loved people of God. So leave today knowing that God loves you. He loves you completely. There's nothing you can do that would make him love you any less. And so will you pray with me that as a community, we will be people who just delight in the Lord, that our identity will be found in him, because we know we are the loved children of a good, good Father. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father, I thank you for your word, that it was breathed into the heart of James, and he was able to write this letter both to the people he cared so very much for and is here today for us to hear and remember that we must first recognize our identity is found only in you, that we are loved. And because we are loved, we can speak slowly and listen quickly and be people who are very slow to anger. Lord, I pray even today, as Jed and Beth take this very next step, be with us today. Help us to know that it is your church that we get to be a part of. Help us to be kind and loving disciples of Christ. In Jesus' name.